Welcome everybody to Infinite Scale, the ultimate growth podcast for MSPs. My name is Patrick Doherty and I'm here today with James Vickery, author of Infinite Scale and also CEO of Benchmark 365. Hi James, how are you today?
Hey there Patrick, I'm doing great. How are you?
Pretty good. So today we thought we might chat about something that a lot of MSPs struggle with, and this is this concept of over-servicing. When clients demand a lot of servicing and you feel you're doing the right thing, so you provide a lot of servicing, but it can really impact on your ability to grow and scale. So we thought we might talk a little bit about, you know, why it happens and then perhaps a little bit what you could do about it. So James, over-servicing, what are we really talking about when we're talking about over-servicing when it comes to MSPs and their clients?
So I think as service providers, we want to provide great service, right? We feel that we win our clients' hearts and minds and ultimately their wallets by servicing them very rapidly, trying to jump on everything as quickly as possible, trying to make sure that the customer never has to wait 5 minutes for anything. It's a normal approach to trying to be successful in your business, but unfortunately, it runs into limitations. And so I think we want to talk about that today, about how to manage expectations and what is the right level of service for your customers.
Before we get to that though, there's normally a bit of a journey as to why this happens. You start off and you have just a couple of clients and obviously you probably got more time on your hands because you're only just beginning. And so you end up spending a lot of time with them because you can, and also because they are a big piece of your portfolio.
Yeah, that's right. And I think a more recent phenomenon, if you will, is due to COVID and the pandemic, even if you weren't over-servicing your clients prior to COVID, the natural reaction is to do it now in order to defend your account and to make sure that you don't lose business through what is quite a trying time for a lot of businesses out there.
So I guess you've got, particularly now with COVID, not only are you afraid of losing business, you're probably also getting some pressure in terms of they want to pay you less.
Yeah, we're certainly hearing that in the community, in the MSP community, that a lot of companies are struggling. They've obviously seen revenue declines as a result of COVID. Particular industries come to mind, such as retail, where these companies are having a hard time and therefore they want you to deliver just that little bit more to them in order to help them get through this. And that is okay. And I want to be really clear before we get too far into the podcast about maybe relaxing some of your service policies, but it is okay to help your customer, but you might not be doing your customer a favor if you burn yourself out doing that. And I think that's one of the topics of today.
So what is an appropriate level of service?
I think when we talk about service in the managed services industry, the word or the acronym SLA or service level agreement comes up a lot. Now, often a lot of us have service level agreements in our contracts, but rarely adhere to them. Let's use an example. Many managed service agreements might say that there's a guaranteed response of 15 minutes to a high priority issue. The site is down, the place is burning to the ground, they really need someone to get on it right away and work on it. That's what we might call a priority one issue. And a lot of SLAs might say 15 minutes or 30 minutes or 1 hour to address these particular issues. As you get into the lower priority, a priority two might be that this person has a workaround, but they want you to work on it as quickly as possible. You might have a 1 or a 2 hour SLA on that, and a priority 3, 4, 5, and so on. The timings get longer. The trouble is the way MSPs are engineered right now is that everything just gets treated basically the same. The phone rings, it gets answered right away. The ticket comes in, it gets a response right away. And MSPs have started to move away from an SLA and to just treat everything as quickly and urgently as possible. And what happens with that as a result is that at times where you are unable to meet those turnaround times, the customer feels that your service is poor. But if you look back at the reasonable expectations that are set within an SLA, you've been beating that by 50% or 75%. You've been beating that number. So then one day when they've got an issue and it takes you half an hour to get around to it, suddenly your service levels have dropped. So what we need to do is have a conversation about making sure we, if we do have an SLA, let's adhere to the SLA rather than trying to beat the clock on everything. if we try to beat the clock on everything, what will happen is one day the customer will feel let down.
So it's setting a very high support bar, which really is just going to have a higher risk of failure.
If you've set the bar at 5 minutes, for example, which is amazing service, absolutely amazing service, and we would all love when we have any kind of issue in our business or any kind of issue in our lives, if we could get it solved in 5 minutes, happy days. That's great. The problem is one day you might be down a staff member, or one day you might have three customers calling at the same time, which is this concept we talk of called collision at Benchmark, where if you have three equally valuable customers with three equal priority problems, they all want 5 minute turnaround. Who do you prioritize? And so this is where SLAs really do come back into frame and why they were created in the first place. What we want to do is try to educate our teams that we want to work toward faster service, but we also want to make sure that we hold off a little so that the customer doesn't have an expectation in their mind that's not sustainable.
So it's really important that, because your staff might also think they're doing the right thing by, responding super quickly, even when they're not part of the SLA, you have to get your staff to just go, no, it's this kind of problem, so therefore time it appropriately.
If you take a look at our industry right now, if you go and check out a lot of the content that's out there in Reddit, Facebook, the Tech Tribe, places like that, right now, we're hearing all of these mental health issues. We're hearing that staff are exhausted, they're burnt out, they're maybe even a little fearful of what might happen if they don't double down on their job right now. The culture that we're effectively creating by asking our team members to treat everything as urgent is we're actually creating a longer term problem, which is a mental health problem, possibly, which might lead to loss of staff along the way when they realize, hey, this is just not sustainable. Because one thing that isn't talked about a lot is that these turnaround times don't exist anywhere but in the MSP space. If you go to an IT department, we're not asking the IT professionals to drop everything in 5 minutes for a corporate. If you turn up at the hospital, Patrick, with a major health issue, you still got to get in line. You still got to go through a triage process before someone comes and solves that problem for you. And again, there are varying degrees, and a hospital is a great analogy for that, right? All they do is deal with crisis. Everything that walks in the door perceivably is the most urgent issue in the triage room, but it's not. And they've gotten very good at working out ways to establish some reasonable expectations for everybody.
Let's say that we're in a position where maybe the SLA has gone to the wayside a little bit. So that's one problem, is like, how do you get your current customers on track? So we'll come back to that. But obviously, if you're going out and getting new customers, you can compartmentalize. You don't have to deliver that same kind of level of service to new customers because they have no expectation.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they have no expectation. So I guess my question really is, what kind of expectation does a new client generally have?
If you differentiate your service by the fact that you know how to install computer systems, or how to keep on top of cybersecurity, or how to rack up servers, whatever, right? Like, we're in a service industry. How do you then differentiate your service, and how do you unpack it for the customer or the prospect? And so for me, it's not about saying, here are our service levels, Mr. Customer, like hitting them with a document and a mandate, but rather, tell me a little bit about your business. Tell me about the people in your organization. Tell me about, if this were to happen, what would your expectations be? This is a great way to actually select clients as well, which is almost another topic, but tell me, what would your expectation be? And I'm yet to meet a prospect that says, why, my expectation would be that, James, you would drop absolutely everything for us, no matter what happens, and you will be here within 5 minutes, and that problem will be solved within 10. I don't think I've ever met a prospect. So it's us that's actually setting that expectation through our actions, not the customer. And so what we want to do is, when we're having that discussion, is to have a discussion and to have a negotiation, and then to document that in the form of your agreement, and to say, these are our goals. Our goals are to respond within half an hour. Our goals are to resolve within the day. Our goal is to do these types of issues by next business day, and so on, and to get that documented, and then to convey that to our internal team or to service providers that we engage. And I think it's important to unpack that and have the discussion. Now, there are examples of industries where they do indeed need a five-minute turnaround. Everything is actually a crisis and it's life and death. I know that we work in one particular sector, in a healthcare sector, where it's doctors and nurses and emergencies, and we need to respond and we have an SLA. But what do you think the difference is between that customer agreement and the next customer's agreement, Patrick?
Hopefully the price.
It's the price, because now, in order to offer that sustainably and consistently, we had to double down on personnel. We had to add additional personnel on the phones. We had to make sure that if someone was away sick, we had someone that could sub in for that person very quickly. We had to make sure that we had subject matter experts in that specific team that understood the criticality of that particular healthcare client. And so that's a function of price. And in that instance, the price was three times as high. The danger that we run into if we don't do this is that you've got nothing left to negotiate on. If your service is rapid and your price is low, and then you try to solve that, the customer says, you've already given this to me. Why am I going backwards with you? Which is so important that we get this right in the initial sales process.
And so it's a little bit of having that little strategic conversation with yourself in how you're going to price those different types of services. And I think this idea of emergency services, right, in that it may not just be because it's healthcare. It could be because of the mess that the client's infrastructure is in, that it just doesn't work. So it falls over all the time. So that's an opportunity, right? If you do the right kind of work up front with them, you can discuss that with them and say, we can get you on a path so you don't need emergency services, which cost you more. You just need regular services.
This is the thing that I think has been lost, and we've touched on this multiple times through the podcast journey and through the book, is what is it that you're actually selling and what is it that your client's actually buying? Hmm. Managed services is supposed to be that the customer buys into all of the advice that you have to offer them. So they buy into the infrastructure that you recommend. They buy in through the vendors that you recommend. They lock their environment down to a degree that you recommend, and therefore you can offer them a fixed fee, and therefore you can offer them an SLA, and therefore you are not expecting every call to be a crisis and unpredictable. But what we increasingly see in the market, and this has been for us at Benchmark a very interesting thing to witness, is that there are a lot of fixed fee engagements out there, but the environments are a disaster. Things are not locked down. Things are not standardized. Things are chaos. And so we have to really keep having this conversation, is that managed services is exactly as it's described. It's fully managed. It's fully managed, and the customer has made a serious investment based on your professional advice to get this environment to not be a hospital, to not be emergency services. Yeah. And once you get to that, then we can have reasonable expectations set around turnaround times, and we can have reasonable expectations around SLA. It's almost a triple whammy that we're seeing now, where the customer hasn't actually adopted reliable technology. The customer's paying a fixed fee, and usually a fairly low fixed fee, and the client's getting 5-minute turnaround emergency support. The customer it's not great for the customer, but boy, are they doing well out of this, right? At the end of the day, they haven't made to make any investments, and you need to subsidize that with your emergency services. What we need to do is start to change that conversation for MSPs and for the customer.
So that's all great. That's good. That's if you're heading out there and talking to new customers. But let's be frank here. There's probably a lot of people sitting here going, well, yeah, I've got this bunch of customers who I've really been Mr. Available for. How am I going to walk it back without them walking out the door?
Yeah, tough one. It's a really tough one. And I think sometimes these are the tough discussions that we need to be able to have as professional service providers. When you think about what it is that you're trying to achieve as a business, the countless business owners, small MSP business owners that I talk to day in, day out, they say to me, I want more. I want to grow my company. I want to double my business. I want to be off the tools. I want my staff to be less stressed out. All of these things that we hear. And so when we start to do the analysis and we start to break it down, we see this chaotic technology environment. and we see that the pricing structure isn't right around that, yet we continue to provide an emergency service every time the customer calls. At some point, there's got to be a circuit breaker. And I think the circuit breaker is just sitting down, starting that conversation. So there's no need to change your level today, not immediately. And I want to add to this. Sometimes when I give advice, Patrick, I talk to someone and I say, I'm going to go and do that right now. No, you don't need to do it right now. This is just now, this is an idea. And this is a concept. And now we need to start to explore this concept. And we need to start, if you believe in this concept, then now we need to start to plan. How are we going to get to this next level as an MSP? So the plan would be to start the conversation, to sit down with a customer and say, with the best of intentions, we are trying to do the best we can for your business. But one of the problems we're having is that every issue that you call with is actually really urgent. And we don't have the capacity to urgently respond. So when we take more than 5 minutes or 10 minutes, we get a complaint from you. And we're struggling to figure this out. And so what we'd like to do is maybe have a conversation about why everything is an emergency. That would be one. And I'm going to come back to this, but I think it's interesting that when you say to someone, why is it happening? Often they don't realize. And this might be an eye opener for them. This, I didn't know that if we just upgraded the firewall or if we just upgraded the switches or if we put some new cabling in, there would be less crisis in my business. Maybe they don't want to have the crisis. They don't want to be in crisis. So that's number one, is we need to look at why this is happening. And then number two, we'd like to work towards solving that for you. And then number three, what we need to do is to set more reasonable expectations with one another about what my business can accomplish for you. And I think that is a long discussion, if not multiple discussions over a long period of time. I was talking to a guy today where they've been over servicing for 15 years with one customer, and they've been losing money on this customer for a really long time. But funnily enough, they keep saying it's their best customer. Okay, they're your best customer because they're warm and friendly and you enjoy their company, but they're not your best customer from the fact that you've got really high staff turnover. And why do you have high staff turnover? Because this customer demands excellence at a moment's notice. It demands really senior people to drop everything at a moment's notice. So they're not your best customer at that level, are they? And what we need to do is start to work towards unraveling this 15-year expectation that you've set.
Part of it really, even before, you know, touching, you know, reaching out to the client, is to do your research and look at your data. So that, because that could also be a problem, is do you have access to the data to give you the information that you need in terms of the impact it's having on resourcing or how many hours you're spending or whatever? Like, you can't go really with just a feeling and have the conversation. You've got to have something to present to them.
That's correct. Yeah. And there's quite a few data points there, as you can imagine. There's the obvious one is if your PSA or your ticketing system gives you some SLA reporting, that's great. Not a lot of people have accurate data in these systems, but if you have it, that's great. The other one is to look at the frequency of calls and tickets that you get from a particular customer. Now, we could talk about hours of investment in the customer, and we've spoken about that. Guys that are listening, go through the back catalog of the podcast and you'll hear a lot about time entry and hours and making sure that your business is viable from that perspective. But also, what's the frequency of the call from the customer? Because sometimes what we find is they don't actually cost a lot in terms of like raw billable time, but they actually cost a lot because they interrupt you multiple times per week, sometimes multiple times per day with an emergency, and your top people, including yourself perhaps, become conditioned to just stopping what you're doing and sharpshooting that particular issue for the customer. So customer, often you look at it and go, we don't really spend a lot of time on this customer. If we look at it over a year, the customer might even look a little profitable. But if you actually think about the number of interruptions per day and the urgency of those interruptions, what's the opportunity cost? What did that take you away from? And I think we need to really start to look at this data and making some better decisions around this.
It's like microservicing, and how do you track it?
Yes. Almost. Yeah, that is a really good term for it, microservicing.
Yeah. All right. I'll trademark that. obviously you got to have a plan for what you want to do with your new customers and how you manage your existing portfolio. So perhaps a good way to start would be to, you know, take one in each area. So try to come up with a new SLA or a new, more nuanced SLA for a new opportunity, and then pick off one customer that you think maybe is a little friendlier, who may be a bit more amenable to an adjustment in their SLA, just to see how it goes.
Yes. And I think so. Yes, most definitely. It's we don't need to eat the elephant in one day. Mm-hmm. We don't need to do that. These are problems that have been systemic in most MSPs I've met. This is a systemic problem that's been going on for 10 to 20 years in their business. For those of you that are starting out, hopefully from this podcast, you will not fall into the trap. But for those of you that are trying to unravel and get yourself out of the trap, we don't need to solve it all today, but we do need to set an intention to solve it and perhaps have it resolved within a period of time. We're also going to need to make some really tough decisions. If a customer continues to unreasonably demand a level of service that's not sustainable, it will become obvious over time that this customer might not be the best fit for your organization, particularly when your other customers are happy to pay the same or more for a less urgent or a less emergency service. And so that's the kind of thing that you're going to need to work through as an MSP business owner.
So that's like how you manage your portfolio of customers, right? Like your profitable ones versus your non-profitable ones. But if you make that call that there's some clients that really you would be better off without, you have to have the time available to go and find new ones to fill the leaky bucket, as we would say. As one goes out, you want to put another one in and a better one, right?
I'm really glad that you mentioned that, because this concept that we implemented in our MSP and that we ultimately do for our MSP partners through Benchmark 365 is the concept of a dispatch function. Having a dispatch function or a customer service representative in the business that manages expectations. So that's, yes, you are able to answer the call right away. Yes, you do get a response back to your ticket right away, but expectations are managed from there in terms of what is the urgency of this issue, really? Can Mary print to another printer? Can John check his emails on his phone until such time as this problem is solved? Having this barrier between the customer and the techs, maybe barrier is not the right word, but having this facilitator between the customer and the tech actually will free up time for everybody. Now the customer knows what to expect because expectations are managed. Now the technicians are not dropping everything because everything's a crisis. We have someone that sits in between and facilitates this outcome. And I think that's a really powerful thing, because once we get to that, we move away from emergency services. The things that are really high priority do get addressed quickly, but everything else gets addressed in a formal sense at the right time when everybody's ready to solve that problem. And so I think that's a really powerful function. Once that's working, what you then have is more time and more capacity to acquire more customers. It's a much more professional approach to take for your MSP.
The problem a little bit with that, though, is that they've already got your mobile number.
Right.
Your cell number. So you had a little trick for how you managed that little issue.
Yeah, I think first of all, and I say this to all of our partners, if a customer wants to talk to me, they can talk to me. If a customer calls my cell phone or my mobile phone, I do want to hear from them because they're my customer and I'm the CEO of the company. But I don't want to hear from them when I know that I've got very talented people within my organization that can solve technical problems. So what I'll generally do is if I see a call from a customer, I will not immediately take the call. Instead, what I'll do is I'll text back and I'll say, I'll call you in a little while, but if you could just text me what you need, I'll pass it on to the team, or I'll let it go to voicemail and then I'll pass the voicemail on to the team. Then what I do is I will phone them back later in the day. It might be that they called through with a tech issue at 10 a.m. It was urgent. The guys got onto it. It was solved by 11. I call at 2 or 3 in the afternoon. I say, oh, hey, I'm really sorry I didn't take your call earlier, but how did it go? Is it solved? And it's, yeah, it's solved. And by doing that, educated the customer that, no, I'm not going to drop everything for you. You're not the only client that I have. I do value you, though. I'm going to call you back and make sure that everything's going okay. But we've got to have a circuit breaker in here somewhere to get them to talk to the help desk first and get the help desk to solve their technical problems in a reasonable time frame, not an emergency time frame.
Okay. So we've covered a lot of ground there. What's your quick summary?
Number one is, if you're thinking the way through COVID is to provide emergency turnaround times and emergency services to all of your customers, be very cautious, because unraveling that, when you realize that it's not sustainable, when you realize that your staff are burning out, when you realize that it's not viable for you to do that every single day in, day out, you've built yourself a real rod for your back. It is such a difficult thing to unravel. So if you're listening now and you're thinking, I've got a great strategy, I'm going to hire a bunch of people and we're just going to provide emergency turnaround services, just be mindful that, one, it does not lead to higher fees. Customers don't say, great, I'm just going to double how much I pay you tomorrow, particularly in these times. So it's not going to result in more revenue. Two, it's going to result in more cost to your business. And three, it's just not sustainable. Just keep that in the back of your mind. The second suggestion I have is just to get a mirror, take a look at your business and say, what can we accomplish moving forward by setting fair and reasonable expectations with our customers? Really think through, what is fair? What is something that you can accomplish for your client consistently? By coming up with this SLA, it's a great way to benchmark your business, your customers, and to give everybody a consistent experience, not an amazing experience one day and a perceivably poor experience the next day. What it does is creates a consistency across the board. So that's the second thing, is to have a think about that. And then I guess the third thing is that where you have already created these expectations with your customers, and you've got an emergency service, it's time to sit back and time to think about having the conversation. And that is something you might do over the next 3 months, 6 months, maybe even 12 months, depending on how long these engagements have been happening. But it is time to sit down and actually reset expectations across the board. And where customers are not willing to reset, maybe it's time to reset your pricing as well.
Great. I think that's a good place to finish. Thanks, James.
Awesome. Thank you, Patrick. Thanks, guys, for listening.
Thanks, everybody. Bye for now.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to get your own copy of Infinite Scale, just go to benchmark365.com. And if you have any comments, feedback, or suggestions for future podcast episodes, just drop us a line at hello@benchmark365.com. Thanks for listening.